Thank you for supporting WBEZ. You keep public media public. December gifts are among the most important because they set the tone for our reporting in 2026. Next year, we're doubling down on bringing you stories that arm you with the facts. This journalism relies on everyone contributing what they can. Join them today at wbez.org/donate.
I'm Lisa Labas in for Sasha Ann Simons, and this is Reset. Chicagoans who rely on food assistance are reeling after the massive tax and spending bill that cuts safety net programs was signed into law. Starting in 2028, states will have to begin funding SNAP. That's the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program. This is not really something Illinois is ready to do. The state estimates 1 in 5 SNAP recipients will eventually lose their coverage. To discuss local impact, we sat down with Cody Martin, a SNAP recipient, Kate Mayer, CEO of Greater Chicago Food Depository, and Dr. Evelyn Figueroa, director of the Pilsen Food Pantry. All right, so let's get a little reaction to the bill that was signed on Friday. Cody, what's your initial thought?
This is a big blow for the SNAP recipients because it's going to affect a whole lot of Americans who are depending upon it. And it's unfortunate that they don't see the need to help Americans, which this country is built upon, of helping people. And constitutional wise and biblical wise. And we are supposed to be able to help one another because it should be within our DNA. It should be within our minds to help one another when we are struggling. And so for the people that's not going to be able to receive these SNAP benefits the way they used to, it's going to be very devastating.
All right. And Dr. Figueroa, what are your thoughts about the bill signing?
Well, as a physician, I tell people that they are what they eat and that food is medicine. It's really important for families to have access to food that is fresh and nutritious. We already know that there is low food access throughout our country. Chicago, 1 in 5 families are food insecure. And food is really important at different points of people's lifetimes. During pregnancy, it literally affects your genes and how you're going to metabolize food for the rest of your life. When you have medical conditions, it can exacerbate problems, heart failure, hospitalization, depression, diabetes, et cetera. I mean, we know very well that there's a direct line from it. So to me, in a country where we already waste 30 to 40% of our foods through dumping it into landfills, to now decrease access even more is inhumane.
Okay. And Kate Mayer, how is this? What is your reaction? What were you thinking on Friday?
Everything that Cody and Dr. Figueroa said, and then some. It does feel like a big blow. And for context, right now, before this bill even goes into effect, the food pantries and soup kitchens in our community, and this is true of food banks all across the country, are serving record numbers of people. For context, here in Cook County, we doubled in size over the last 5 years as a response to those initial days of the pandemic and then the inflation that came afterwards. And so we are in a moment already of great vulnerability. So to have this happen on top, candidly, it is both the disappointment that we would think about policies that take food away from families with children, families with older adults. But on top of that, there is the worry of how on earth is an emergency food system going to rise up and respond to the acute needs of our neighbors. And honestly, I'm not sure how we will do that.
Okay, well, we'll talk about it as we continue this conversation. Cody, I want to ask you, I know you don't receive a lot of SNAP benefits, but how does it help your budget, what you do receive?
It helps a great deal because, unfortunately, I'm on unemployment also. Mm-hmm. And so that's the why I'm getting the minimum. And it helps me buy things, even though not a lot of things, but some things. Which gets me through the week, plus with the pantry, that assistance, it helps a great deal. And I thank God for that pantry.
Right. So it's able to just help you stay on your budget,
yeah,
even
correct.
just a little bit.
Yes.
Do you mind sharing how much you receive in SNAP benefits?
$23.
$23?
$23.
$23. It doesn't seem like a lot, but that is important to you.
Yes, especially when you're able to buy things on sale.
Got it. All right. Dr. Figueroa, now I know that these changes are going to be spread out over time. There's going to be work requirements for SNAP that might go into effect this year. And states are going to Illinois will have to start funding SNAP benefits in 2028. And tax cuts might start this year. Do you have thoughts on that timeline that's been kind of laid out?
I can tell you, based on the trajectory that we've experienced over the past 5 years, that it's going to be very difficult to close that gap. For example, prior to the first wave of COVID, the Pilsen Food Pantry served 160 to 180 households a week. We now solidly serve over 600 households a week.
Okay.
So we have more than tripled in 5 years. We've also opened a free store so that people can get clothing and housewares, lots of free clinic, lots of services. And it's really hard to be responsible for employees. We work with a skeleton staff. About 70% of our labor is volunteer, but we still need people to provide that structure, and we need to pay them a living wage, and we need to give them benefits. So I worry constantly as the unpaid director and founder of the Pilsen Food Pantry. I constantly worry about hiring someone. We added health insurance. It's really scary to be responsible for all of these folks and having to worry about buying more food, because that's going to be the reality.
That timeline is not going to make that easier then.
Well, you have to have enough money to buy food, but also the system isn't set up to recover food. The food is there. The food is all there. The issue is that the short-term dumping of the food is cheaper than developing a system of logistics for recovery.
Okay. And Kate Mayer, talk a little bit about the timeline that you've seen now. What are your thoughts on that?
I mean, it is incredibly challenging. So we anticipate that up to a quarter of the people in Illinois who receive SNAP benefits will lose them. And mm-hmm. It could start, as you said at the beginning, happening quickly. And just for context, there are about 2 million people in the state of Illinois who receive SNAP benefits. So it is not a small number. And I think one thing it's just important for listeners to understand is the impact SNAP has today. So if you take the entire emergency food system in this community, in this state, and in this country, amazing organizations like Dr. Figueroa's, and you take our impact for every meal we are able to provide, SNAP provides 9.
Wow.
And SNAP, in addition to being this critical lifeline for individuals like Cody and others, it also has an incredible economic impact. So I think one of the things that really worries me that I don't hear anyone talking about is what happens when the $280 million that gets spent in SNAP benefits in local grocery stores and businesses in Cook County every month. What happens when those dollars go away? There are stores that won't be able to hire staff, as Dr. Figueroa said. There are buildings that have businesses in them, and those businesses won't be able to thrive. And it's just really worrisome that there are a whole host of implications, starting with the health of individuals, their ability to get the food that they need, all the way through an economic cycle that will likely result in vulnerable communities getting impacted even more.
Okay. I know I want to share a statement from the Illinois Department of Human Services on these changes coming. It says, while the state of Illinois cannot absorb the losses proposed, IDHS, the Illinois Department of Human Services, and others in the state have been working tirelessly to mitigate any potential impacts. Do you anticipate that changes will come before 2028, perhaps, as states and agencies are getting ready for this shift from federal funding to state funding, Kate?
So I have the privilege of serving as the co-chair of the Illinois Commission to End Hunger. And in that capacity, I work really closely with our partners in state government and have been on the phone and on email and in meetings with them around the clock trying to figure out how we are going to respond. And I know that they are committed to doing everything they can. But I also know that our state is going to be faced with really tough choices. At the same time, we are talking about SNAP. There are cuts to Medicaid. There are a whole host of other impacts that are coming down. And our state is going to have to figure out how to respond to the needs of people all across these programs. And I'm not sure how they do it, candidly. And I worry about other states simply will stop offering the program. Mm-hmm. And so what has been an extraordinary federal response, we have seen the end of that. SNAP will change. SNAP will no longer be the front line of defense for hungry people in this country.
Cody Martin, you're a SNAP recipient. So if you lost your SNAP benefit, what would it mean for your day-to-day life?
It would be a cut within my issue of receiving food. And that's devastating, and it's concerning because it's like the president and the government is saying that they don't care. And for millions, and not just for me, but for the other millions, even the children, just think about how much food they're taking out of the children's mouths that need this, you know, whose parents are not able to provide for them on a daily basis. This is quite concerning. And that word concerning, it goes a long way because if nobody is caring, where do we go from there?
Right.
Where do we go for help? You know, where do these people go for help? I mean, it's like they want to commit like a genocide.
And now I know that you had worked as a caseworker and you lost your job earlier this year. So then you applied for SNAP benefits. Can you tell us about how that process went? What did you have to do to start receiving your benefits?
Well, I just had to go and apply and, you know, me being a case manager, I was in touch with a lot of people who needed SNAP and who were receiving SNAP. And so by me being in that that predicament, I was able to understand what I needed to do. And I went down there and I received it. At first, I was getting much more, but then when they found out I was receiving unemployment, they cut it.
Got it. Dr. Evelyn Figueroa, You are in charge of the Pilsen Food Pantry. Can you describe what it's been like recently at the food pantry? What are you seeing? More people coming in? You know, what's your day to day there?
Well, you know, we're coming from a budget that is not very strong, an economy that's not very strong in the United States right now. And that really trickles down into every community. So when egg prices became untenable, we stopped buying eggs, which we get lots of eggs from Greater Chicago Food Depository, and then we supplement and buy additional eggs. And we used to, for instance, give everyone a dozen. Then we went down to half a dozen. Now we have 1 or 2 days a week that we give out eggs, and it's 6 eggs. People are very obsessed with their 6 eggs.
Yeah.
Why? Because it translates to $3 to $4. And that makes a very big difference for people. That's a bus fare. That is paying for, you know, some other expense. That's the whole point of food pantries and SNAP. We don't have a great public transportation system in our country. Transportation barriers are extensive, especially in families that are food insecure. We don't have affordable housing basically anywhere in the United States. So this was one of the breaks that we could give to families. And it's a labor of love doing this. I have a job that pays, and this is not my job that pays, but I do it because food should not be something that people have to worry about. Cody should not get $23 a month for food and be worried about losing $23. Like, that's 3 cups of coffee at a chain.
Yeah.
And we're acting like people are just running and building their mansions because of the money that they're getting from SNAP. The other part of this that's really hard is to watch the migrants be afraid to come to our pantry.
I wanted to ask you about that. So you do serve a large immigrant community. And so you say you've noticed a lot more fear?
Yes. So at the Pilsen Food Pantry, we speak Toishanese, Spanish, Cantonese, and English because we're on the border of Chinatown, Bridgeport, and Pilsen. The biggest group is Latinos, but most prefer Spanish. We began the year with a lot of very racist rhetoric that was scary for the staff and scary for a lot of the clients. That seems to have improved. We now have panic alarms at the Pilsen Food Pantry, which was not something I ever thought that I would be budgeting for and installing. What has happened is, and especially in our free clinic, which is targeted towards migrants, is having variable attendance, even though we know the need is great. People are very paranoid outside if they see anyone recording. And we know that at our free store, our numbers have gone down. And the free store disproportionately served migrants. So when we talk about migrants, right, you have people that are undocumented, and then you have migrants that are some way in the naturalization pipeline.
Okay.
And I hope that that's what people will try to take out of this, is that they keep saying that illegals are taking all of the SNAP without understanding that people that are not U.S. residents have no entitlement.
Yeah. The panic alarms that you said that you've now installed, is that for when ICE agents might show up? What's the purpose?
Well, we do have protocols for ICE, and we have a lot of signage posted that we are a private facility. A lot of the documentation requirements have decreased from Feeding America, Greater Chicago Food Depository, in order to alleviate the worry that we will be subpoenaed and have to provide or FOIA'd and have to provide this information and expose people, because that is currently being written into legislation. The panic alarms had a lot to do with some of the audacity that fellow pantry clients had at the beginning of the year and some pretty critical threats that people made about migrants. And so to watch that division, even at our food pantry, where we never cut off people, where we always serve until everybody's done, and where we work so hard to keep a consistent inventory across the 5 days that we are open every week, it was pretty heartbreaking.
Yeah. And Kate, I know I want to talk a little bit about the work requirement that's coming in. I know that SNAP recipients have been exempt from this work requirement. Explain what this is, how this is going to affect your operation at the food depository.
So I'll just say, I think there's so much misconception. And I'll just start with the fact that there are a lot of people who hear this term work requirement, and it stands to reason that people aren't required to work today. And that's not true. There are an extraordinary set of work requirements already in place. What this does is it begins to tighten those work requirements, and there are some really vulnerable populations who were previously exempt who will no longer have that ability to be exempt. So we're talking about people who may have young children, 10-year-old children, 12-year-old children, 14-year-old children in the home. We are talking about people who are nearing being older adults. One of the things that's also really troubling is we know that just requiring somebody to work doesn't make it so. Mm-hmm. We have lots of people in our community who want jobs, but they cannot find jobs for which they have the requisite skill set. And unfortunately, I don't think denying people food will all of a sudden make them ready to work.
Right.
And so there's just, it is a little bit confounding to think that we are stating this as a policy that is about encouraging people to work by denying them something as basic as access to food.
Yeah.
The final thing I'll just note is what this will really do is create a lot of additional bureaucracy. So it will require states all across the country to come up with new systems for monitoring. It will make government bigger, and it will add additional costs to state governments that are already feeling the weight of requirements.
Yeah. I hate to say this, but we're going to have to leave it there. I have 80 more questions that I want to ask all of you. But I've been talking with Kate Mayer, who is CEO of the Greater Chicago Food Depository. Also, Dr. Evelyn Figueroa, who is director of the Pilsen Food Pantry. And Cody Martin, a SNAP recipient. Thank you so much for spending your afternoon with us at Reset. Thanks a lot.
It's been a pleasure.
Thank you.
Thank you.
This episode was produced by Linnea Dominic, edited by Dan Tucker, and mixed by Ethan Schwab. To stay up to date on how national news affects Chicagoans, consider subscribing to our podcast so you never miss an episode. You can also visit us at wbez.org/reset. Thank you so much for listening.
Teacher, I think that WBEZ provides endless sources that I can bring back to my students where they can also engage in a deeper understanding. I teach government, I teach U.S. history, and I have used sources from WBEZ in order to help enrich the understanding of my students.